Hello, All-Star listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable, the podcast where we answer your veterinary-related questions while having some fun along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice, and if you have any feedback to offer to improve the Veterinary Roundtable, let us know. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Checkup, but we're going to get to talking about them in just a little bit. We need to hammer home reviews.
Where's the hammer?
Dang it.
Every time.
John Wesley King, who is also now helping on the podcast. Can you please remember to bring Thor's hammer next week? Okay.
I mean, excellent. We're doing this theoretical hammer, so we got to make a sound.
All I know is, if you guys see this, what do you have memories of? Harrison like and Johnny. Memories. Look at what I'm doing.
Laser tag.
They're not paying attention to you.
No, what is this? Yes, thank you very much. That was Trevor's go-to motion for charades on Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And it was for every word that he looked at. And
we could every word?
Every word. We were like, you're throwing a ball. You're throwing a hammer. The first one, it was a boomerang, which was absolutely applicable. But then all the other ones after that, no. Nothing to do with this motion. So anyway.
It's like me in Pictionary.
Yeah.
I draw nothing.
So yes, write those reviews on Spotify.
Yep. Okay, how's everyone doing?
Great.
Yeah. Feeling good.
I'm a little tired.
How's your week been?
It's good. No,
good.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a good week. Good recovery after Thanksgiving.
We just pulled 1,000 mils off of a 10-pound cat.
Nice.
And that wasn't even half of it.
Yikes!
To make it breathe better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because just to give it some more time with the owner.
Oh, that's
nice. Well, it was in his abdomen, but
We did a chest tap on Tuesday on a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same cat.
No.
Different.
We haven't seen this cat since 2018.
Okay.
Well, gosh.
Well,
those are nice palliative techniques.
Especially around the holidays. I feel like it's where it gets really hard.
Right? Don't you feel like there's
goodbye,
more?
Not, yeah.
More euthanasias around the holidays?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
We've probably had,
did you guys
like,
see the moon last night? That was the other thing that made me think of, wow.
I know.
It's like, get ready.
It's happening.
Buckle up.
I know.
There was a halo around it a few nights ago.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Was that mean? Pretty. Like, if you looked up at the moon, there was
no,
like
I
a...
Know.
Oh, I looked it up and it said that snow or rain's coming.
Wait, what?
And then snow came.
Oh, when the halo happens?
Yeah.
There's rain coming?
Rain?
It said rain or snow is coming.
Oh, interesting.
That's like the...
It snowed a little
bit. And then it rained on Sunday? Is that why? Is that, I mean...
I think I saw it Saturday night maybe and then it snowed Monday.
Hmm.
Right?
Sunday? Monday? Oh, Sunday.
I don't know.
Monday it did sprinkle like a little bit of snow.
Yeah, it rained and snowed.
No, not a lot of pancreatitis cases. After Thanksgiving.
I know. So maybe the PSA announcements over all these years.
Yeah.
Made a difference.
I mean, week's not over yet. So.
I know, right?
Could be delayed. They're getting the leftovers.
Now, you know what we did forget to do because we've been the same group on the podcast, but we should tell everybody who everybody is.
Oh, yeah. That
just
sounds good.
So let's back up. Rewind.
How about everyone says one nice thing about yourself? Self-positive talk.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you start us off?
Okay.
You start us off.
I am Dr. Ashlyn Duckwall. Associate veterinarian here at All Star, and I am optimistic.
Okay. I like
that.
That she is. Okay.
He's got a little glance into her morning. She's talking to herself in the mirror.
All right.
She hasn't worked today.
That's right. There you go. Okay. Yeah.
No, I try to be positive. Oh,
you are. I'll tell you. I know you're positive. It's just we don't do self-affirmations every day.
I know. We should do it more.
Okay. Oh, I'm next. Mm-hmm. I'm Devin. I am her room assistant. And this morning I looked and I'm 12 weeks ahead in school.
Okay.
Nice.
Way to
so
go.
So you're smart.
No, I am smart. Motivated.
Motivated. Okay. I like it.
I'm Courtney. And I'm caring. I think I'm caring.
You are very caring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word for you.
Thank you.
And I'm Emily King. And I would say my word would be resilient.
Nice. I agree.
Okay. There we go.
Wow, nice. Sounds like I just screwed up and just said the wrong thing. Okay, fine.
Your word was great.
Okay,
I love it.
Let's move on. Okay, Courtney, you're up for the next special.
Yeah, because
event.
You guys might be wondering why.
Yes. Right? Well, if you're watching, because some people listen.
Oh, that's true.
So if you're watching the podcast right now, we have a whole display of beverages in front of us. And I came up with this idea because there's a trend going around on social media where you make veterinary-related or veterinary-themed drinks. So we all put ideas in whatever you bag. Just yeah, in a bag, and we pulled them. And so we had to use our very creative minds and make them. Yeah. And so now we're going to guess what each of us made, and then we're going to taste them.
Yep.
Nice.
We're going to describe too, like what the word is that we pulled from the hat or the bag or whatever.
Yeah, because we don't know each other's word.
Yeah. And we guess what the word is.
And we put more words in there than we could pull out. So we really don't know.
Yeah. So if you're able to watch, this would be a fun part to watch. Yeah. So go to YouTube or wherever he does it at.
That's TikTok. Right. All right. Who's going first? Duckwall.
Okay.
Who's going for Duckwall?
So everyone would like to raise the one that I made. If you can see here. Yes. So if you can see here.
Are you telling us what it is?
No, not yet.
No, we got to guess our word. We're going to guess our word. We're going to guess our word.
So this, though, this may not smell like it does in real life. It smells opposite of what it would actually smell.
Okay.
In vet med. This has a thick brown consistency, watery, with a gelatinous.
Ooh, gelatinous keyword.
Gelatinous red coloring that is on the sides there.
I got
my stomach's turning.
there's also an additive red layer on top because that may come with it.
Okay.
I got it.
What do you see? What are you guessing?
Think it is? Parvo? What do you think?
Ruptured anal gland?
I'd say colitis.
It's parvo.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay.
Really, the smell.
I mean,
parvo,
I really deal with the parvo the most probably. Oh,
it smells much better than parvo.
Oh yeah.
I just can't. How can you replicate?
No, this is your.
This was good.
This is what gave. I mean,
okay.
This is
good.
Very good. And you can see. But now, you can see the gelatinous stuff on the bottom.
How you describe the consistency of it's a little gross to me, but
yeah, the bottom of that there really is a good depiction of. It's the cherry juice that's settling.
Okay, it does not taste like parvo. Not that I know what that tastes like.
But.
I would hope it doesn't.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's chocolatey.
Yeah, it's totally chocolatey.
And it's got like different textures. It's crunchy. It's smooth.
I like it.
Sprinkled all over
parvo is.
Okay, look.
Just imagine parvo.
You can't tip your glass down long enough.
Yeah.
Look, Duckwall, if you tip your glass, look at the bottom of it. Doesn't it totally look like.
So that's cherry on the bottom?
Like intestinal, like, yeah. Like wall that comes out.
Wait, is there cherry in here?
I mean, I knew that, there's a cherry and then cherry juice is what's
in. Oh my gosh, I love it.
I got to get the cherry.
Very clever.
I need a toothpick. That's really good. I like it.
Very clever, very clever.
Yeah, very smart. And your presentation was.
Presentation, amazing.
Well, okay, who's next?
Okay, Devin.
Sure.
I'll go.
Okay, everybody lift.
Oh, okay.
Mine's not as intricate, but it's just a little specimen jar.
Specimen jar.
With some bloody liquid and a gummy eyeball floating in there.
There's floaters in mine. I think the eyeball's shedding.
I think so too.
That's just the tissue.
I love the eyeballs. Oh, okay.
It makes it off-putting. The eyeballs.
The eyeball's really creepy.
The floaters was
Yeah, there's the film on the eyeball, but it's edible. So.
Okay, what do you guess? What are you guys guessing?
A nucleation.
Ooh, a nucleation.
A nucleation. Just because I remember we've been there.
Yeah.
Okay, nucleation. It's a nucleation. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. I like the blood.
What did you originally think? Did you think something different?
I don't know. I was thinking like some type of like traumatic event, like, you know, because the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is a film.
Like prop toast eyeball.
Don't think about the film when you're drinking it.
Oh. Fruity.
That's really good.
Fruity.
Are we going to eat the eyeball?
I like the juice.
I don't know. The texture of the
but it takes
squishiness
a few
is going to really.
It takes a few minutes.
Is it going
to
throw you off?
I think it might.
Uh-oh. I can't.
It's just a gummy,
She's
right?
It out. Yeah.
It's just a gummy. I don't know if I can eat it.
I don't know if I can
I can't
get it
grab
out.
It. I need a napkin.
I really There's don't want to stick my finger.
I don't think you can bite it.
Ah, you can't. It's like, you can't bite it.
Okay.
You put the whole thing in your mouth.
I really will.
She did it. She put the whole gummy.
It has a film on the outside.
I'm not doing it.
No. Not good.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Oh,
I can't do it. There's a film on my teeth now.
No.
I'm gonna throw
it. I don't know what brand that is. Don't buy those.
It's Amazon.
Oh, no.
There's like, I'm going to throw up the film that got on my teeth.
I
got
to swallow it now.
Oh, God. That's awesome.
Wow, she really took one for the team for us. Thanks, King.
She did. And there was like a cold like film.
Well, that fits with the nucleation.
Mine's just for appearance.
Woo!
It tasted good. The drink tasted really
good.
The
eyeball tastes good once you digest it, too.
Okay.
She begs to differ.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, it's Courtney up. We're going in a row.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh.
So cute.
Okay.
This is really good. This is brilliant.
This is so gross.
This is so brilliant. I love it.
You have to really describe it in case people aren't watching.
So we have a red liquid here. There's no, I mean, there's no texture. It's just a normal consistency of liquid. And then on top, we have a garnish of a gummy worm. And then funny story. So I was running around at 9 p.m. at night trying to find candy. And nobody sells heart-shaped candy. So I cut the top of Sour Patch Strawberries off that was green and just put the red part
on. Hilarious.
My God. And then on the inside of the glass is
that's
some
so brilliant
cooked spaghetti noodles.
Oh, my God. It's so brilliant.
To bring the
so
whole
good
drink together, I think you have to eat one. It falls in my mouth.
Oh. This is why I can't eat spaghetti a lot of times, because of how it looks when it's good.
Oh, wow. This is, I'm telling you, this is really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done on the pasta.
Well done. Very well done.
You know, that was last minute. I was like, Jacob, I have to make pasta. And he's like, why?
Yeah. You're always making genius. I mean, it's very disgusting looking.
I love the glass, though, that they're clear. You can just see all the way through it.
That's perfect.
So we all know what this one is because we work in the industry. If you do not, if you're not on video, you got to see this because this is so uber clever.
This is what it looks like in your animal.
Yep.
That's pretty spot on. That's exactly what it looks like in the heart.
So this will scare the riddance out of you. Just give that prevention.
Get that trio.
Okay, so Courtney, what is it?
You didn't guess.
Oh, it's heartworm. Literally, this is what the worms look like in the heart.
This is exactly, yep, floating around in
liquid. Think about cooked spaghetti in red
crawling
liquid
through all the... My candy's normal if you want to eat
Ooh,
it.
Oh, yours is good.
It's not from Amazon.
Is it? Okay, I can honestly, like, looking at her worms and her drink from afar is so gross.
You're right in front of your face and your drink.
I know, but it's worse when it's like, you know, the magnifying
it
effect
is
of the glass.
Ew, they're wiggling in there.
They also look
I was
like going
to have
worms
them hanging out the side of the thing, but I was scared they're going to fall out everywhere.
Okay.
These gummies, not the eyeball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's better than my worms. Okay. All right. My drink is a...
Wait, hang on. Okay.
My part of mine sank in there. I tried to also, because we're now into the Christmas holiday, make it slightly festive, but
nice.
It melted. So you have a white liquid that represents something. And then you in your syringe, you have, which you can't see now very well because it melted around the thing. You have some pink solution that you need to squirt into your
white
liquid.
Were those syringes
clean?
Because I just licked the side of it.
Yes, ma'am, they were clean.
No, they're used. She got them out of the trash.
Oh, you have to squirt this in?
Squirt that in there.
Oh, you have to squirt it in there?
Yep. Stir it around.
Oh, is it peppermint? Oh. This is so fun.
What do you guys think it is?
I'm having a good time. What's in the, is that ice?
Yeah, there's ice in there.
Wow.
I'm having fun.
What do you think it is?
It looks like it just looks like pus to me.
Oh, wait, yours.
But keyword, you said white and pink.
Yes.
Euthazol and propofol.
Yes, ma'am. Euthazol, propofol.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
That
that's
is
such
phenomenal
a good idea.
Euthanasia in a cup.
Euthanasia in a cup.
Sorry.
There you go.
That looks like blood.
Mm, that peppermint. Mm.
Yep.
Oh. Wow, that was genius. I was thinking, like, I just kept thinking of the cryothorax. I know we have that in there, which is basically pus liquid in a chest.
Yes.
So that's what I was thinking, is that this was like, but this, that was genius.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Wow, you guys. Yummy. We're so creative.
It is so, that was fun, actually, to do.
The peppermint's a nice
time. That was really fun.
We need to do it on a larger scale for more people at some point.
Everybody at the Christmas party.
We have enough things we could probably do it every episode for the next year.
Yeah.
We probably do. There we go.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun.
Okay, great job. Great job. Great job. Yeah. All right, now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Okay.
Checkup. Every day, software becomes more important to the lives of clinicians and their patients. But outdated and complicated software, combined with the rising standard of practice performance, makes it difficult to stay ahead and avoid burnout. That's where Checkup comes in. Checkup's main focus is to help you manage your practice while you can focus on caring for pets. It's that simple. Did I mention they also save you time and money? They have all the features you'd ever need, from practice analytics to online scheduling to communications to reviews and more. One of our favorites is the scheduling feature, which seamlessly integrates into any PIMS. This also includes read and write. We've worked with many of these companies in the past, and I can confidently say that Checkup has one of the best online scheduling softwares I've ever seen. It's that good. By having four systems in one, Checkup is guaranteed to save you time and money to help you work on your business and not in your business. If you sign up for Checkup and mention the Veterinary Roundtable, you'll receive 50% off your setup fee, which is a value of $500. So be sure to sign up for Checkup and mention the Veterinary Roundtable to get that 50% off your setup fee. Thanks again to Checkup for sponsoring this episode of the Veterinary Roundtable. On to case collections.
We have Devin and Courtney doing cases because...
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I still have eyeballs stuck in my teeth.
That's so disgusting.
That's something you don't hear every day. Have you ever
seen... I mean, everyone's been there for a nucleation, right? Like, have you seen one?
No. But you know what one of my favorite...
I love doing a nucleation.
Oh, you know what my favorite thing in high school was in anatomy? Cutting open a cow eye. I love that for some reason. The eye is so interesting to me.
Calvin
I
is
love
so
it.
Excited because they're studying the eye and they're going to see a cow.
Yeah. Like you so might excited. Hear every time there's a new nucleation, I ask if I can cut the eyeball open. I love it. I think it's so cool.
Hmm. One of the only times I've ever gotten nauseous through like, not as in my career, but like as a student, you know, learning and going to clinics was a horse enucleation. And obviously there's so much blood. Mm-hmm. On the ground, it congealed and clotted, and I had to clean it up. So literally, you can't just wash it down. You had to pick up the clots and throw it in the trash.
And then they slipped through your fingers.
It was so
That's gelatinous.
That was
that's gelatinous.
Ew. That I will never forget that experience.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, so they're going to do cases because the listener question is very extensive.
Is a case.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
You're up. So, okay.
Start us off, Courtney.
I like my notes so I don't forget anything. Okay. So we have a 6-year-old golden retriever who is the bestest boy in the whole world. and he came in on October 6th for in swollen and enlarged lymph nodes. They were his submandibular lymph nodes. All the other ones around his body were completely normal. So we started him on an antibiotic while we waited for some testing. So we sent out a tick-borne panel. We did a fine needle aspirate of the lymph nodes and sent out those samples. And then we also sent out blood work. Tick-borne panel was negative. I didn't look at, is that, okay, that's yep. What I thought. Okay, so that was negative. But then the FNA results came back as, unfortunately, lymphoma, which is a type of cancer. And so the owners, we kind of talked to them and gave them all of their options and kind of what they could do moving forward. And after they discussed it with each other, they decided to pursue staging here at All-Star. So what that entails is you do chest x-rays and then you can move forward with the abdominal ultrasound just to make sure that the cancer has not metastasized, so it's not moved throughout the body. And on his chest x-rays, we did find metastasis, and he had enlargement of his mediastinal and sternal lymph nodes. And then the ultrasound showed involvement of his spleen, kidney, and GI lymph nodes. So that's kind of worst case scenario, unfortunately. So he kind of had spread all over the place. And so after we told the owners that information, they had to digest that. And then they actually opted to start chemotherapy here. And so he comes in weekly. He skipped 1 week, but then just that's how the protocol works. But he comes in weekly. We check CBCs, which is a complete blood count, every week to make sure everything's still stable with his platelets, things like that. And he has had 4 treatments so far. He's only vomited, I think, once or twice, if that, after one of his treatments. And you would not think he had cancer. Like
So he's in remission?
No.
I can still feel the lymph nodes. Yeah. They're not completely gone.
Okay.
So
that's what I was going to say. They've shrunk.
Yeah, they've shrunk. Oh my gosh. So, more than 50%.
Yeah, they were, like grapefruit or bigger? And now they're...
Not grapefruit. I would say
maybe a little apple. Smaller. Yeah.
I don't know. It's grapefruit? Bigger?
Yeah. Plum.
Yeah.
Plum.
Whatever. I don't know.
Plums are yeah. But no, yeah. But what I was saying is right my small what I was saying is you went like he's just a really happy dog and his lymph nodes have shrunk and he's just doing really well with the treatment. So it's just cool
How old
to
was
see.
He again?
He's 6, almost 6. 7.
Okay, not very old. Yeah.
And we love him.
They did adopt him as an adult, so he could be older.
Oh,
but
yeah. Okay.
So I consulted with an oncologist as well about his findings because mm-hmm. she also gave us the protocol. And unfortunately, with all the involvement of lymph nodes everywhere and the GI and everything, it put him at stage 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So the prognosis goes down quite a bit when you go to that stage. It's the last stage. But thankfully, he's been tolerating everything really well. And these owners are fantastic and they just want him to be happy and healthy. And happy with what he's dealing with. So
yeah, he's very happy. That's what I was saying. Like, you wouldn't think he's just such a happy dog, and he's tolerating everything really, really well.
Yeah. Yay. And lymphoma is one of the unique cancers. I think that we can facilitate chemo here.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, gosh, the majority of other ones we just unfortunately cannot.
So. And it's it's one that if you can get a response, they seem to do really well. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a myth that dogs don't tolerate. It's like people with chemotherapeutics, yeah. and they just do great with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, from a clinical sign perspective, we're really just their bone marrow is probably the thing that we would most often see affected.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done so much research with this particular protocol that they're really good mm-hmm. in terms of the dosing regimens. And so I think I've only had one case in 20-something years where I've had a neutropenic dog secondary to treatment.
Nice.
And so I've just been so impressed with how the dogs do
mm-hmm.
when you're treating them. You know,
so it's saying he just had, like, yeah, animals are resilient.
The other thing with
King.
Yeah. With lymphoma, too, you can figure out if it's B or T cell because there's different prognosis. C's, T is terrible. B is bad. So you don't want to have T cell lymphoma because that prognosis changes a lot.
Yeah.
But they opted to not do that testing because it didn't really matter. And then likewise, like when we found changes in the abdomen, you can sample it and confirm it's lymphoma, but it doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. You're still going to do the protocol. So
right. That's
just other things that owners may come across as decisions to decide if they go to an oncologist mm-hmm. or how much information they would want to know. There is more to get. It just... it's not always necessary.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. Well, yay.
Very cool. That's great. Mm-hmm. We have two chop dogs, don't we? Now?
Yeah, we do at the same time.
Yep. At the same time.
One comes in on Tuesdays, one comes in on Fridays.
So interesting. Yeah.
We haven't had one in a long time.
Right.
Very long time.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Okay, I'm up. So I'm going to use my own doggy. Her name's Mitzi. She is a going on 15-year-old Pomeranian. Last year, she had a bout of PUPD, so we did some blood work, diagnosed her with kidney disease. Long story short, we ended up doing an abdominal ultrasound, and she also has a liver mass. So we started her on telmisartan, denamarin, and now she's on fosbine powder, and she's pretty controlled, thanks to Dr. Duckwall. But with her old age, and she's always been a farm dog, but she has pretty bad arthritis, and when this new Librela came out, Dr. Duckwell was like, we should do it on her. She's like the perfect candidate for it because she has kidney and liver issues. So I gave her the first shot actually a month ago exactly. And I would say after 2 weeks, she like stopped hesitating as much to go up steps and stuff. And then since like even in the past 2 weeks, she has probably gotten better every single day. And she feels so good. She actually got the zoomies the other night for the first time in years.
Aww.
I sent them a video. One time I was videoing something outside and in the bottom frame, you just see her like running by. Like she's just living her best life.
Funny.
And she feels so good.
That's
she's
so
much
cute.
Happier. She greets me and she like does her little dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome.
And that's only after the first shot.
Yeah.
That's great.
So
my dog's the same too. He hasn't had the second one yet, but as it went on,
mm-hmm.
he is running out in the back with the younger dog
mm-hmm.
and
yeah
so just seeing the improvement mm-hmm. it's really nice
and I haven't seen it like wean off if anything she just keeps getting better yeah so.
That's great
mm-hmm.
so
love that stuff
give that second
yep.
shot
oh
right?
yeah
yeah
oh
that's
yeah.
awesome very very cool those are good cases you guys
okay how are we gonna go through all this
okay so the reason Duckwall mentioned yeah we're not sharing cases today because we our listener question is a case mm-hmm. And so why don't we
that one time we went back and forth reading paragraphs.
Yeah, sure.
On the cat
one.
Reading.
Yeah. I think we should just go around.
Let's just go down the story.
Like paragraph.
Yep. And just circle.
Yep.
Okay.
Just like we were in elementary school.
Yeah. Reading in a book. Okay, that works. I like it.
Okay, I'll start us off.
Okay.
Hello, vets. I came across your content on TikTok a while back and have since followed it over to other platforms and binged almost all of your podcast episodes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes.
I just finished watching the episode where you discussed Sam's dog Jax being diagnosed with Cushing's.
I apologize for the long post, but I am in desperate need of some advice. I currently have my boy scheduled on the 20th of November for some x-rays, an abdominal ultrasound, and have a blood clotting test. I'm sure you likely won't get to this before this appointment, but I would love to have some other thoughts, opinions, and suggestions from your perspective.
Some backstory on my boy Bruiser. He is a 6-year and 9-month-old pit bull Staffordshire Rottweiler mix. I adopted him Oh my goodness. I adopted him in September 2018 from one of my local shelters. He was severely underweight, weighing in at approximately 34 pounds. It was just being passed up by other potential adopters due to his kennel aggression. Honestly, he was just terrified and didn't have a mean bone in his body. Once I got him out and visited with him, he was putty in my hands and has been the best $25 I've ever spent.
Towards the end of 2020, he was close to 70 pounds, severely overweight, and had difficulty getting around. When then family vet diagnosed him with hypothyroidism and put him on some levothyroxine, he started to lose weight and was looking fabulous. Well, the weight loss began to be too much, and upon return to our vet, they said that his thyroid wasn't the issue and that they thought it may be diabetes due to all of a sudden increase in water and urination. We did glucose curves and some other blood work with no signs of diabetes. After that, he was tested for diabetes insipidus, had extensive blood work done, urinalysis, and abdominal ultrasound in early 2021, none of which gave us any answers.
Fast forward to October of 2021, we moved and started seeing a different vet. By this time, he started having bilateral hair loss on his sides, thinning of the skin, calcification of the skin in those areas, and developed a pot belly. Upon meeting her and looking at him for 5 minutes, she said that she was confident Bruiser had Cushing's disease. After doing a low-dex test, and about 8 months of misdiagnosing, we had a diagnosis.
Since then, I've had zero luck getting him to gain any weight back. In fact, he is losing weight, and he doesn't have much more to lose before I lose him completely. He has no muscle definition left. I've had him on high-calorie supplements, wet food, puppy food, salmon oil, etc. Nothing is working.
After months of trying to find an IM specialist that had availability, I finally got in at one of the clinics at MSU on the 13th of next month.
We had an appointment at our family vet 11/3/2023 for a checkup to get his meds refilled, blood work, and urinalysis. At the appointment, my boy yelped while having his blood drawn. He has never done that. Now his leg is severely bruised and he has never bruised before. The tech did the draw perfectly from the cephalic vein and he didn't flinch while I held him. I worked a short time in the vet med field, so they had me hold off or restrain my pets, and we have never had any issues. Even yesterday, he was perfect, but for whatever reason, he yelped.
The doctor yesterday said his blood work and UA looked normal. She also mentioned that she doesn't know if going to the specialist at MSU would be worth it because likely whatever the underlying issue is may be too far progressed to be able to give him more time. She suggested we take into consideration his quality of life and make the tough decision to help him across the rainbow bridge.
Here is where I need help. Obviously, I will know when it's time for him. However, I do not think that is after the 2023 holidays. We will be taking him for the ACTH test after this upcoming appointment with our family vet to check for Addison's. If they do not do it at his appointment next week, then he will have his IM specialist appointment in mid-December. He has always been a laid-back and lazy dog, more so after his buddy, my boy Rudy, passed last June, but not enough to cause concern. His behavior isn't causing me much concern. The only thing I have noticed is that he's a little slower to get up and doesn't jump at the word outside like he used to. He still gets froggy with my two pit bull pups, but is perfectly content laying around on the comfy furniture in the sunshine and getting belly rubs. He still has increased thirst and urination, but is now having bouts of incontinence both in his crate and in the house. This hasn't been an issue since I adopted him in 2018.
What more can I have checked? Can I have him checked for? He is currently on 30 milligrams of trilistane BID and 8 milligrams Apoquil SID. Please, 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 any and all help is greatly appreciated. If I'm just prolonging the inevitable, then I will stick to making an appointment after the holidays and help him cross the Rainbow Bridge. But if he has the chance to see another summer and go camping, then I want to give him that.
I've attached his current blood work too. Thank you in advance for reading this.
No, he does not weigh 55 pounds. His weight yesterday was 30.4 pounds, and back in March, he was 36 pounds. I'm so sorry for the long email and really do appreciate you taking the time to read it. I hope you guys have a fantastic day. Keep up all the amazing work. Thanks, Ashley Beal.
Okay. So,
I don't know. I mean, we do have pictures. I guess I'm not quite sure how that will get translated to the podcast, but essentially, it's a timeline of what she described in his weight. So
correct. Yeah. Like visual pictures of his weight.
Yep. So lean, overweight, and then just kind of can appreciate that. And then you can start to kind of see the weight loss, muscle loss, hair loss as it kind of follows that timeline there. So
now I think that we should say, like we always do.
Yes.
And when we're in this situation, that the dog's not in front of us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, we can do our best to help out, but I mean, ultimately it can be very difficult to figure out exactly what's going on with them. So she's taking the right approach from the standpoint of making sure like she's getting him retested and going back and seeing someone in internal medicine at Michigan State. I mean, all that's going to, more than likely you'll get to the bottom, you know, of what's going on.
And I think we can speak to a lot of what we know he has, right? Or what he, the treatment for hypothyroidism, what we usually see with that. Like those are the things we can address and try to correlate with what she's described to us. But it's very hard when you literally cannot even put your hands on an animal because there could be things on physical exam that.
Right. That point you one direction or
exactly.
another.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So where do you want to start, Duckwall?
Let's just start from where the problem started. So I think it just starts with weight loss, right? Well, it was, he was overweight. So that is a problem in animals. They're them being overweight, especially when you kind of have to talk through their history. Was there a diet change? How much are they feeding him? How many treats is he actually getting? Things like that, because there's unintentional weight gain. There's you're doing it without knowing it weight gain. There's metabolic weight gain, things like that. So I think seeing that he literally started off lean and then gained that much weight, that's maybe why they landed on hypothyroidism.
And I would say that we're assuming that he had some additional test besides a total T4.
Yes.
To say that he was truly hypothyroid.
Along with his clinical signs, other than weight
along
loss.
With his clinical signs.
Yeah.
The thing that kind of just jumped out at me is that on November 3rd, they said that his labs were normal. The doctor yesterday said his blood work and UA looked normal. We don't have the urine analysis, but if he's drinking that much that he's incontinent, he can't have a normal urine analysis. He has to have the urine specific gravity has to be lower
exactly
than what would be normal.
Right.
So we're missing that piece of information, but also he does have an elevated alk phos compared to what he was in February of 2023. I know it's minor, but I mean it's still a change.
I've seen very minor elevations and you go looking, you find things.
Especially because of his PUPD.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they say in here that he had a normal ultrasound?
I was just going to say, has he ever had an abdominal ultrasound? Because I don't
did.
Think it's in
I
early
think
of 2021.
Did it?
Yeah.
In early 2021,
it's right
none
here
of
in
which
this
gave
paragraph.
Us any answers. I mean, this size dog, for them to have Cushing's disease, they typically would have an adrenal tumor, which would explain his lack of response to trilostane.
Right. Right. That's what I was thinking. Like, if he had an ultrasound, well, she said, this is where it gets kind of muddy too. They did blood glucose curves. You should be, you can tell, you diagnose diabetes from the blood work, which he had had, and a UA, right? So I'm not quite sure where.
He shouldn't have been getting curves.
Right.
So that, again, that can be lost in translation. Yeah. There's a lot of information maybe we're missing.
And his labs are normal here. His glucose is 102. So that's normal.
Right.
Maybe we should talk about what you do when you have somebody that has PUPD. How do you work them up?
Yeah. Because I think that's where it started after they started the hypothyroid meds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, first off, I guess I would want to know, is he controlled on the hypothyroid meds? That's a huge thing. If he's being overdosed on the hypothyroid meds, you're going to have rapid weight loss.
And because you make them hyperthyroid.
Yes. And you can have increased drinking and peeing as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that
we
with
saw,
one of
we
our
just
cases.
Saw that.
Yeah. So that'd be my first thing. Was there follow-up to make sure he's on the right dose? And
and did they discontinue it once they knew that
exactly.
it wasn't his thyroid?
Yes. And yeah, I think that's a huge thing. So then the PUPD, just like she stated, you start looking for obvious things that will cause that. So on our list, what are some things we'd have on our list for increased drinking and peeing?
Diabetes.
Cushing's.
Cushing's. Kidneys.
Addison's, which she mentions.
Addison's, which is low cortisol, which is opposite
of Cushing's. Cushing's.
Liver disease.
Kidney disease.
Yep. That.
Oh, you said that. Sorry.
She states diabetes insipidus. So that one.
So rare.
It's so rare. And it's kind of one of those last diagnoses you go to try to diagnose. It's like not of exclusion because you can do tests for it, but
that's like very far on the list.
Yes.
Infectious agents like lepto.
I was just going to say lepto. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then psychogenic.
Lyme,
yep.
Psychogenic. So yeah.
Okay. So extensive lab work.
Wow.
The one, and it says after doing a low dose Dex test, they had the diagnosis. So they diagnosed him with Cushing's disease. But the low-dose DEX test to distinguish between adrenal and pituitary.
That's the one that you can do.
Right.
Yes. So that one. So
we don't have that piece of information. Like, right. We don't see the test, I guess, right. To say, okay, yeah, it's pituitary.
So I think we should talk about that, the differences between the two.
Okay.
So the low-dose DEX, yes, gives you a diagnosis of Cushing's. It tells you whether or not they respond.
In what? How many? 80% of the cases? I can't remember what the percent is.
It's sharp.
It's high.
It's very high. So you have your two types of Cushing's. You have the one where it's basically pituitary dependent. So there's a microscopic overgrowth of cells in the pituitary gland. And what happens is that checks and balances and that signaling in the body gets crazy because there's extra signaling from the pituitary gland in the brain and they're overproducing cortisol that way. So that's the most common one. That's your 80% or more, whatever mm-hmm. the percentage is. Now, the other percent, though, is an adrenal-based Cushing's where there's an adrenal mass on an adrenal gland in the abdomen. That one can operate differently in the sense that there's different hormones that get out of whack,
mm-hmm.
to put it simply.
Yep.
So this test that she did to diagnose it should have been able to say which Cushing's it was.
Unless it gave her an inconclusive.
Yes.
Like, right? In which case, then she would have to do a high-dose DEX suppression.
Mm-hmm. Or an ultrasound.
Or an ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
And
they said the ultrasound was normal.
They said they did an ultrasound, but...
Or didn't give us answers.
Adrenal glands can be hard to find. So, like, mm-hmm. if it was a general practitioner, I mean, like, I don't know. If it was a radiologist, then it's like, okay, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And also, does normal mean, like, it fits with Cushing's? Because... you're going to have changes on an ultrasound with Cushing's. Your liver is going to look big. Your adrenal glands will look different, even mm-hmm. if there's no mass there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand that part of it either.
Right.
Where she said it was normal.
Okay. So then they are going to go to the specialist in December, but they went back in on
11-3-3. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And to get
but he's also scheduled on the 20th of November for some x-rays and abdominal ultrasound and a blood clotting test.
So it sounds
which
like
he just had done.
Got finished. We don't have the results of that.
Okay. So he was diagnosed with Cushing's, assuming he started meds, right? And then he kept losing weight. That's where we're at.
Yes.
So I would need to know too is did they recheck the dose of the Cushing's? You have to do it within 7 to 10 days of starting treatment.
Yes. So that's, and you're using dose. That to just tell you if you're overdosing him.
Or correct. Underdosing, yeah.
We hardly ever make a dose change at that time.
Yes.
Okay, so.
I think that's where she said, though, we had an appointment for a checkup to get his meds refilled on 11-3. Yeah. And he was diagnosed in October. Okay.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
And then she went into how bruised he got and how mm-hmm. painful
it was. You can have issues with Cushing's disease and clotting.
Right.
That's one of the hypercoagulability, whatever, something
mm-hmm.
conditions. Like,
yep.
I didn't know that.
It's like one of very few because people always like, a dog had a stroke. And you're like, well, no, it's not really a stroke. Like, dogs don't have strokes mm-hmm. except for when there's like two conditions. Cushing's one of them.
That's, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I can't write that on. But.
Yeah. Or it's a weird paraneoplastic thing.
That's what I'm worried about.
If he has. So paraneoplastic means a secondary effect, essentially inflammatory effect from cancer. That's affecting something mm-hmm. else in the body. So the cancer is affecting his clotting ability.
Right. And then it's also would be weight loss secondary to cancer. Mm-hmm. So because they're hypermetabolic mm-hmm. or they're just chewing through so many calories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they can't maintain their weight. So mm-hmm. then even though he's eating, he just keeps dropping weight.
Yeah.
The stem test that she talked about doing, that'll rule out Addison's. That's very easy to rule out.
Yep.
And that's how they would recheck his dosage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing too is like the bruising on the leg. I mean, Courtney and Devin can speak to this if you want to on blood draws, right? But even if a dog sits still, they move. I mean, how often we see bruising a lot, right?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I'm doing a blood glucose curve today and I poked the dog once and she bruised.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I mean, it was a good stick, but bruising happens.
Yeah. So it may be related to disease, also, may not.
Right. There's a, did you see the picture of the bruise?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's quite large. But I mean, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, hematomas can
bruising form. Is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Ribodrol.
If he has underlying liver disease, and that's what's causing the increased thirst, increased urination, and oh, by the way, he just has Cushing's disease, and the Cushing's isn't really the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's true.
Then, I mean, that could...
Because clotting factors are produced in the liver. Right. So that's another thing where on ultrasound, even if the liver, right, we were taught, even if the liver looks, if it looks one way or the other, you can't make a definitive diagnosis without sampling the liver. Like, you have to poke it.
Yeah. And then they could do a liver function test, like a bile acids.
Right.
But I think that he has something progressive going on. And so that's why his veterinarian is like, hey, I don't know if this mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. worth, you know, continuing to put him through test after test after test. Right. Because in the end, is it going to make a difference? But for you, Ashley, it sounds like you want an answer.
And she sounds like she'll do whatever it takes.
And so even CTing him, which mm-hmm. is not something they talked about, but that would be a way of like ruling yeah. out any type of invasive mass or tumor somewhere, possibly.
Yeah. If she wanted to sample the liver, I mean, they're going to need to make sure he's able to clot before sampling. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to do harm mm-hmm. by trying to get answers, right?
Mm-hmm. And so I wonder how that clotting test went.
I guess the other thing too is like, all the time, we see Cushing's a lot, right?
Yes.
So when you get them under control, they're on the right dose. I don't see weight loss. You just mm-hmm. don't, especially to this degree. So it doesn't make sense for that Cushing's to be correlating with his weight.
His weight. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, the picture's extreme.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he has some other process causing
yeah.
weight loss, unfortunately. But I mean, I think I commend your commitment to him. I think that depending on what you found on the 20th, you might already mm-hmm. have answers, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
And let us know what.
Yeah,
I know.
Sure. And she has an appointment mid-December with the IM specialist.
Yeah.
I think.
MSU.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I think that's always beneficial. Like, even to just go and ask them questions or lay his case out and just like this, be mm-hmm. like, okay, tell me your thoughts. Like, is there anything that you would recommend we yeah. should do? Or do we just let it lie and keep him happy? You know, mm-hmm.
bring all the
yeah
the statistics.
That's what they're there
urine.
For.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best of luck. And yeah. I commend you for, you did a great job like documenting historically because
yes.
it was very easy to understand the progression of what you've been having to manage. And I'm so sorry that you're having to deal with it mm-hmm. and that you know, there's oftentimes where we would do anything to fix them, but sometimes you can't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard boat to be in when you would do anything. If you could just do something, you would do it. And sometimes there are situations where there's nothing to do, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But he's very lucky to have you. Mm-hmm. And thank you for taking such good care of him.
Yeah, thank you.
He's really handsome.
Yeah, he's very handsome. That's yes. right. Absolutely.
We appreciate your love for him.
And thank you for the question mm-hmm. and all yes. the support. We yes. really appreciate it.
Let us know.
Good luck, Bruiser.
Yeah, keep us posted, please.
Okay. I think that's all we got. Anyone else?
I think that's it.
I think we should give ourselves a pat on the back for our game that we did.
Should we vote a winner?
Really... Oh, I don't know.
What does that mean to do?
I think everyone did a really good job at representing their word.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know how you would.
Yeah,
pretty
I
good.
Agree.
Yeah.
We were very creative. Legit.
Harrison was even impressed. He's on the sidelines. He was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were really committed.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Don't underestimate us.
That's right.
We get a challenge. We go above and beyond.
You know what I would love to see? Someone who is not in veterinary medicine or like has very little knowledge, guess what these are. I think that'd be more fun.
Well, ooh. I can tell you when I gave it to Charles, my husband, he had no clue.
He had no clue?
yeah.
Yeah.
He had no idea. It was
hilarious.
Jacob knew it
terrible
was.
Diarrhea.
Well, he didn't get the heart part. He got the worm part.
He got the worm part.
Okay.
I mean, it's still worms. Like, I was like, yeah.
I like it. Okay. All righty. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable. Remember to send in those questions and be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at All Star Veterinary Clinic. If you enjoyed this episode or a previous episode, leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. We'll see you in a few weeks for the next episode of the Veterinary Roundtable.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.